This is Jordan Seculo. Deep state corruption at the FBI revealed and Michael Flynn vindicated. We'll talk about it today on Jay Seculo Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
Was it an easy decision?
It was an easy decision, yes. I think easy because once I saw all the facts and some of the tactics used by the FBI in this instance, and also the legal problems with the case, it was an easy decision.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We haven't heard the end of Bill Barr's good work because everything that's going on with the Durham investigation is another example of still other shoes to drop.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Who'd have thought in May 2020... we'd be getting so much more new information about Bob Mueller's investigation, about the attempted prosecution, illegitimate prosecution of Michael Flynn, served our country for 30 years as general, served previous administrations, both Republican and Democrat, in top roles. Who would have thought that Adam Schiff, after that pressure from Rick Grenell, would finally release the transcripts? Of course, he's blaming the White House for the delay, but remember, last week, we were reporting to you that he was holding on to 10 of those transcripts and not letting the director of national intelligence team go through the declassification process on those 10 transcripts. So how could they release all of them at the same time? And by the way, those included, we now have from Trump officials and Obama officials. Let me read one for you before we get to the Mike Flynn matter. Former director of national intelligence James Clapper testified under oath, quote, "This is all before Bob Mueller was appointed. I never saw any direct empirical evidence that the Trump campaign or someone in it was plotting or conspiring with the Russians to meddle with the election." Or how about former acting director and then at the time deputy director of the FBI, Andy McCabe? He said, "There's a lot of information in the Steele reporting. We have not been able to prove the accuracy of all the information. So you don't know if it's true or not, any of it?" "That's correct," McCabe replied. "That was used, of course, that information in the Steele dossier that they couldn't verify any of, and that Jim Comey even called salacious and unverified, to get FISA warrants on American citizens who they were being told at the FBI, this American citizen is a U.S. intelligence asset," Carter Page.
So let's look at what's happened in the last month. Yeah. Just in the last month. The FISA warrant process, a total fraud on the American people, and the Justice Department acknowledged that it was fraudulent. And that false information was given, and the affidavit should not have been signed and executed, and the FISA warrant shouldn't have been issued. Then we have the Justice Department correctly saying that what happened to General Flynn was outrageous, was wrong, and he should not have been prosecuted, and they withdrew their case. Then we have the release of the documents you just mentioned. But I want to be very clear on something here. I mean, really clear. I said this on a special feed we did yesterday with Facebook as soon as the General Flynn order was, the motion was filed. The order hasn't come out yet. And I said this, justice has been served. The actions of the special counsel against General Flynn were outrageous. The special counsel should be ashamed of the conduct of his agents and his lawyers and that he allowed it. The Attorney General and the Department of Justice are correcting a horrible wrong. That was my official statement on this. And that, it, frankly, is even downplayed. What Bob Mueller allowed to happen under his watch, under his authority, should never, ever happen again in the United States. They should be ashamed. They should be embarrassed. And the lawyers that did this fraud on the courts should pay a penalty.
Yeah, I mean, they abruptly quit the case, and they were from the special counsel's team that were holdovers still prosecuting Michael Flynn. But when we get back to that, this is not over yet for Michael Flynn.
Nope, because the court has to issue an actual order in the case withdrawing everything. I can't imagine a circumstance where Judge Sullivan doesn't do that, especially when the Justice Department basically confessed error.
Confesses serious error on the part of their investigative team, the FBI, and their attorneys for not bringing forward exculpatory evidence, including the special counsel's team. Remember, all of that's marked SCO. SCO was stamped on it. We're going to take your calls as we come back. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. So, Michael Flynn, in the Department of Justice, I'm holding in my hands right now, this is the, if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, this is the government motion to dismiss the crimes, the criminal charges that they were prosecuting. So they're saying dismiss it because of the information that we had was faulty, and what we did to Michael Flynn was wrong, that what Michael Flynn was talking about and brought up on charges was immaterial, so not material, not important, and not linked to any actual investigation.
He said there was not a basis of a counterintelligence investigation to be going on in the facts and circumstances that existed at that time. Let me say that again. The FBI concluded that there was no basis for a counterintelligence investigation to be going on at that time. Now, interestingly, even though that was the conclusion, we know that James Comey had sent two FBI agents because he thought he could get away with it, which obviously he's now not. To go interview Flynn, and what's shocking, I'm going to go to Andy Economo on this because Andy's our Sally Yates expert. Shockingly, Sally Yates said she was flabbergasted, Andy, by what James Comey did.
Don't believe her. I have no credibility in her whatsoever. She said she was flabbergasted and dumbfounded that he would send two agents in there after the president was in office. In order to interview Flynn without coordinating at first with the Department of Justice. I believe she is simply covering herself. I believe she fully knew what Comey was doing and endorsed it. I don't believe her one bit.
You know, what's interesting here is we know that Jim Comey now, because of the transcripts that Adam Schiff, this all ties into that too, the 53 transcripts were released a few hours after this news about Michael Flynn. Oh, Adam Schiff did fold, and he didn't take weeks to do it like he was first reporting. He took a day or two after the Rick Grinnell letter saying, I'll release these. And we find out in there that Sally Yates and Jim Comey, guess who they were briefing about taking down Michael Flynn? Barack Obama in the Oval Office. So the White House, at the end of the days of their term, were still plotting on how to take down who would be the top people for the incoming Trump administration. Yes. Because of, Dad, you said it a number of times during the impeachment argument and before the U.S. Senate, the trial, that this was about policy and it had nothing to do with crimes criminality. It was about policy disputes.
They did not like the direction in which the president was going to take the country. So what did they do? They go after the people the president was appointing. So, Harry, what's your reading that motion and on the Flynn matter, what's your conclusion?
Well, my conclusion is that what we have is astonishing misconduct, first by the FBI in conducting the January 24th, 2017 interview in the first place. After all, the FBI had the word-for-word transcript of the phone call between Flynn and Kislyak in their possession. Number two, the FBI on January the 4th, 2017, concluded that there was no derogatory information to be had with respect to the Flynn matter. Number three, there was no basis, at least in my opinion, for launching an investigation of Lieutenant General Flynn on August the 16th, 2016. Keep in mind that on August the 15th, there was text messages between Lisa Page and Peter Strzok confirming what? That they had an insurance policy. And so the question becomes, was the Flynn investigation part of the FBI's insurance policy? And you put that on one side, and then on the other side, you look at James Clapper saying there was no credible information with respect to collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. You have also the testimony of Andrew McCabe saying essentially the same thing. So what we have are lies predicated on lies, and we have a corrupt case brought by Bob Mueller. And so CNN analysts called the Department of Justice decision to drop the charges against General Flynn an astonishing assault on the rule of law.
Yeah, I want to jump in on that point because here, yeah, I saw that too. I thought that was ridiculous. But Clapper was the DNI, right? Director of National Intelligence. He tells under oath to a congressional committee, no evidence of collusion. Yet Bob, that's the DNI, the Director of National Intelligence. And then they still continue with this fraud investigation.
I mean, you go to Loretta Lynch's, this is under oath testimony. I don't recall anything up until the time she left office on January 20th, 2017. I don't recall anything being briefed up to me. Just my recollection at this point is not. That means she's saying she wasn't briefed, that there was no information given to her. So if it was something this serious, like the incoming administration had conspired with the Russian government to steal the election, you think that the Attorney General of the United States would know about it. But, Dad, what you're seeing more and more, I think, and I go to Andy on this as well, maybe Andy first, is that a lot of these FBI officials, I know he doesn't like to take Sally Yates as word, but it looks like they were trying to keep this away from the DOJ officials as much as possible.
Yes.
And we now know that Lisa Page and Peter Strzok were cheering when they got this crossfire, was it Razor. On Mike Flynn before there was Crossfire Hurricane, before it was expanded into Crossfire Hurricane. They were cheering because there would be no Crossfire Hurricane if they could not continue this persecution, as you can call it now, this political persecution of Mike Flynn by the FBI. If there was no Crossfire Razor, there would be no Crossfire Hurricane. But yet now, Andy, whether they're telling the truth or not, in testimony a few years ago, they were saying, we had no idea about this, under oath.
Yeah, well, of course, they're going to make those statements. They were going to say that there was there was no coordination between the FBI and the DOJ. The FBI was out on a frolic of its own, making its own determination, the deep state, that it wanted to get rid of him. But the reality is that Comey and Yates met with Obama and decided that they wanted to get rid of the people that Trump was going to bring in national intelligence. And among the first of those was General Flynn. I believe that Comey was aware of the instructions, whether it was sub silentio and just a wink and a nod. Yates was aware of that, too. And they were all in this together, and that includes the FBI and the Department of Justice, and no one is going to convince me differently.
Than, how is this playing in Washington, D.C.? I mean, I see partisan politics already. I mean, Adam Schiff, with an almost laughable response to this, saying that this was delayed by the White House for a year and transcripts, and that the White House didn't want these transcripts coming out. Why would the White House not want transcripts coming out that have the former director of national intelligence, James Clapper, saying, "I never saw any direct empirical evidence that the Trump campaign or someone in it was plotting or conspiring with the Russians to meddle with the elections." Or Andrew McCabe saying, "Had they been able to prove the accuracy, they have not been able to prove the accuracy of anything in the Steele dossier."
It's a panic mode response, Jordan, plain and simple. I mean, you've talked about this many times, the 10 transcripts that he would not let the DNI send over to the White House to finish the declassification process. And yet now he wants to blame the DNI that the process did not complete. He was trying to have it both ways. But Jordan, let me tell you, I think it is absolutely pouring in Adam Schiff's world, because you look at the totality of what was released today, and we're still going through it, thousands and thousands of pages. But what you have is a consensus. You have a consensus among anti-Trump government officials that there was no collusion. I mean, Andy McCabe, James Clapper, Sally Yates, Loretta Lynch, Evelyn Farkas, Susan Rice, Ben Rhodes, on down the line you go, Jordan, they all say the same thing. They didn't see any evidence. So I would tell you this, I've said on this broadcast many times, why did Peter Strzok have the audacity to overturn the conclusion from the Washington field office in the General Flynn matter? I said it was because Director Comey was behaving the same way. Jordan, I think I undersold that. Because now we know conclusively from Sally Yates and Mary McCord and others that James Comey wasn't the end of the line here. It went all the way to the White House. That has now been confirmed.
I want to play what Chuck Todd asked Adam Schiff. Okay? Now, Adam Schiff had sat through these hearings.
No, not yet. Not yet. In fact, there had
no, no, he started hearings. He had not had his interviews yet.
No transcripts yet.
So
no,
he, had,
no hearings,
he had no, no transcripts. He was doing getting his hearings ready. He had not had the interviews yet. Here's what Chuck Todd asked Adam Schiff.
But you admit it's a all you have right now is a circumstantial case.
Actually, no, Chuck. I can tell you that the case is more than that. And I can't go into the particulars, but there is more than circumstantial evidence now.
What a lie. I mean, what an outright total
He continued that even after the Mueller report, remember?
Oh, he did it in his release yesterday about this. We'll talk more about it when we get back. Still relying on what Bob Mueller said, but Bob Mueller said there was no collusion and could not prove an obstruction case. And I think after what's come out about Bob Mueller and General Flynn and the FISA cases, you know what I'd say about Bob Mueller's credibility?
Zero.
Zero.
And everybody
right.
worked on his team. I feel bad for those law firms who hired those attorneys, because they look like a joke right now. Wouldn't want them handling
General
any of my
Flynn's
case.
Attorneys before the Sidney Powell case.
Oh. Well, they were in bed with these same attorneys, we've now learned. Okay. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But in America, you know what? Justice always wins out. Sometimes it takes time, but justice wins. And we've got a attorney general at the top of the Department of Justice who is making sure of that. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Adam Schiff, because, I mean, what, his whole world has fallen apart. First of all, his impeachment attempt was rejected by the U.S. Senate. The president was acquitted. And that was on Ukraine when he couldn't use Russia, remember?
Right.
Couldn't use Russia because Bob Mueller told him there isn't anything here. So couldn't impeach on that.
Although he's still in his release yesterday.
Yes.
Still relies on Bob Mueller, which to me is in unbelievable. I was going to ask Harry about that one. Harry, the fact that Adam Schiff would still rely on Bob Mueller after the Flynn mess and everything else that's gone on the last 3 months is unbelievable to me.
Absolutely, because what is blindingly obvious is that the special counsel's probe was laughably incompetent. It was launched on the basis that firing the FBI director constitutes obstruction of justice with respect to the Russia collusion story, even though that claim was constitutionally suspect from the start. And secondly, we now know that all the players knew there was no credible basis for the Russia probe in the first place. So there is plenty of evidence that Bob Mueller's inquiry from the get-go was illegally predicated, and that is equally true with respect to the investigation of the Flynn matter. One of the things that astonishes me about Adam Schiff is that apparently he went to Harvard Law School, and one of the things that he forgot to learn at Harvard Law School is to understand the underlying facts. The facts do not support any of Adam Schiff's claim. Instead, the facts point to one thing and one thing only. Bob Mueller was one of the most incompetent individuals in U.S. history with respect to occupying the special counsel's office. So I would urge Adam Schiff to rely on someone else. And certainly not on his own understanding or misunderstanding of
so
the law.
So many people within the Obama administration, I mean, you even go to the Defense Department. So you had the former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, Evelyn Farkas. She goes on MSNBC. She says, I have direct evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. When she was put under oath in these transcripts, you know what she says? Quote, I didn't know anything. I was lying.
Did she say I was lying?
She didn't say she was lying.
She said I did not know anything?
Didn't know anything. It's her direct
quote. So read her first statement that she made publicly, and then I don't know anything.
She said she had direct evidence of the Trump campaign colluding with the Russian government.
And then under oath? Election.
Under oath, I didn't know anything when I made that statement.
So she knows she made a false statement. Which to the media, that's not a crime.
She made a false statement to the media. When she was under oath,
quote, she was
quickly told the truth, which was that she was playing politics.
So, Andy, what does this tell you? I mean, this is like you can't even make this up in a movie script.
No, the sad thing is that you've got a figure of clay feet, and that's Robert Mueller, whose integrity, whose acumen, whose greatness, whose sobriety has now been tested and found to be wanting, who is a person of absolutely no moral character. He didn't run that investigation, Jay. You and I know it was run by all his subordinates. We met with him many times, hardly knew what he was talking about half the time, had to be corrected on several occasions by his subordinates. And Rod Rosenstein, I'm not going to absolve him from any responsibility. He appointed him. He gave him the scoping memo. He told him who to target. Look, they took an innocent man and they decided Obama doesn't want him. We're going to kill him. And that's exactly what they did. They destroyed General Flynn's life.
We now know from the transcripts, quote, that this is quoting from, again, the transcripts. President Obama knew details of Mike Flynn's 2016 wiretap phone calls. He was told about this by Jim Comey. So he knew about this. He was leaving office, I mean, literally.
In days.
And yet he knew there was this takedown effort of the Trump team that was coming in. Because, again, it was all about policy disputes and using the law enforcement tools and intelligence tools to take down and hamper an incoming administration because of policy disputes, because they were upset that President Trump beat them in an election, beat the Democrats in an election.
So, Than, I'm thinking about this. So, you're operating up there in very modified circumstances, obviously, and so is the House and Senate. But Schiff comes up with a statement. He's still quoting Robert Mueller, which, and for a proposition, Robert Mueller did not say. So, I mean, it's just, you know.
He's always lying, Adam Schiff.
Always.
Always has to make his own transcript.
But then I think about what's coming ahead with the Intelligence Committee or with Judiciary under Senator Graham. What do you expect happening there? And what about the Senate Intel Committee? And they made that report. And remember, there was all this serious concern. Here are the witnesses. What were they talking about?
Look, that's a really good question.
Yeah,
I was going to say a Republican-led Senate Intelligence Committee, I think, fell down on the job on this one because they would have had access to these transcripts. I fully agree with you. But, Jay, I mean, in Adam Schiff's world right now, in the House Judiciary Committee, the Senate Judiciary Committee looking at this, if you roll back the tape, this is what I call the Adam Schiff strategy. He's sitting through these depositions where Andy McCabe says he can't prove the accuracy of the dossier. James Clapper says he never saw direct evidence. Evelyn Farkas says she didn't know anything. Loretta Lynch says she doesn't recall anything. Special counsel came out and didn't find anything. Jay, during that entire time, from 2017 until today, what has been one of the most often repeated lines by Chairman Schiff in front of the cameras? He has very frequently, Jordan played one of them a minute ago, he has very frequently said, I have breaking news for you. I have in my possession direct evidence of collusion or a crime, but I can't share it with you.
By the way, can't share it right now.
Until, wait until the transcripts come out.
Wait until you hear from the whistleblower. Oh, yeah, wait, I'm not going to let you hear from the whistleblower.
Yep.
It's Adam Schiff at his worst. I mean, listen, this is it. He said on Chuck Todd again, bite 37.
So you have seen direct evidence of collusion.
I don't want to go into specifics, but I will say that there is evidence that is not circumstantial and is very much worthy of investigation.
Right before that, he said Clapper, by the way. He was talking about Clapper. Jim Clapper, under oath to the committee, the Intelligence Committee said, I never saw any direct empirical evidence the Trump campaign or someone in it was plotting or conspiring with the Russians to meddle with the election.
Let me tell you something.
So when they were all under oath, they said a lot of things that were different than when they were on cable news broadcasts.
Yeah, well, let me just tell you something. As the person that as one of the people, and several of us on this broadcast today have lived through this for 3 years. What a fraud on the American people.
Mm-hmm.
What a fraud on the American people. Schiff, with all of his, you know, pompous and, you know, I have direct evidence. I know information. And now it's the end. Yeah, now it's because we've got a real attorney general. Now it's the end of the world because they can't play shenanigans. You mean they can't sneak FBI agents in to offices that they're not supposed to do? Is that what they mean by this?
Yeah. He said that we're now like a new, well, we could play the bite for people real quick. We're now like a new democracy. It's like we've been reborn as a country. Maybe that's a good thing. We're flushing out the swamp, Schiff.
I think we lost 50 years worth of ground in solidifying the independence of the Justice Department after Watergate. This really puts us back in the category of almost an emerging democracy where the rule of law is not yet firmly established, where prosecutorial decisions are made on the basis of politics.
No, we gained 50 years. We leaped forward 50 years from a Department of Justice that was disgusting, a Department of Justice full of political rats and bureaucrats. And by the way, I hope you bureaucrats at DOJ don't listen to Jim Comey. We don't want you to stay. We don't need you there. Quit, just like that prosecutor did in the Flynn case. Walk away, swamp rats. Walk away. Or else you're going to be exposed. And this Trump administration not being, you know, you notice there's a lot going on in the world, and yet the DOJ is focused. Bill Barr is focused. So are those prosecutors looking at what they were doing. We'll be back on Jay Sekulow Live.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
I'm talking about freedom.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
What's happened in the last 24 hours, if you're just joining us for our second half hour? The Department of Justice has filed a motion dismissing all of its charges and requesting that the judge close out the case on Michael Flynn because of all of the new exculpatory evidence that we have now learned that the special counsel's office, including the prosecutor in the Flynn case who came from the special counsel's office, was holding on to and not divulging to the court or Michael Flynn's attorneys.
But let's talk about...
Part of what we learned. We also learned that President Obama knew about what they were doing to Michael Flynn in the days he was about to leave office. We also know that the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, because all those transcripts have come out, had no direct knowledge of any empirical evidence that the Trump campaign or someone in it was plotting or conspiring with the Russians. But he didn't speak out about that during that whole fiasco of the Mueller report. And Andy McCabe under oath testifying, well, as we've tried to explain before, there's a lot of information in the Steele reporting. We've not been able to prove the accuracy of all of the information. And the question went on, what about any of it? Do you know if any of it's true or not? No.
So I want to ask Andy this. So the motion's been filed by the government to withdraw the, you know, to dismiss, basically. What is the judge, it's still, until the judge enters it, it's not done.
That's right. Under Rule 28 of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure, the government can dismiss a case on its own motion with the consent of the judge before trial. After trial begins, it's got to have the defendant's consent as well. Well, trial hasn't begun in this case, and Judge Sullivan is now in a position, if he wants to concur with the recommendation made by, in the motion made by the Justice Department, a lengthy 20-page detailed involved memorandum, and dismiss the case, and I have every confidence that he is going to do that.
Let's go right to the phones. Robert in Maryland on line one. Robert, thanks for holding on. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. How you doing, Jordan and also Jay? I just wanted to say, before I ask the question, it's obvious that when the Trump administration was coming into office, he definitely believed that with President Trump's policies, he was going to dismantle the fundamental transformation of the United States of America. President Obama, before he was elected president in his first term, 5 days before the election day, made that statement that we are now 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America, and that with President Trump coming into office, that was about all to unravel.
Yep.
I want to ask the question, are the FBI officials and FBI agents that were involved in this entrapment of Michael Flynn, are they going to be held accountable for their actions?
I think, look, that John Durham's doing a thorough investigation top to bottom of this whole Russia probe. So that's going to include everybody. If there was wrong, if there was illegality, if a law was violated and the evidence establishes, they will do that. That's what they've committed to do. And let me go to Harry quickly on this point. Harry, the fact is that we only know a very little bit of what's actually going on.
Absolutely. So there's much more information to come in terms of the complete unraveling of the deep state. And I think the caller is onto something. One of the reasons why President Obama preferred to see Lieutenant General Flynn fired, if not prosecuted, is because he did not want to see the dismantling of the Obama doctrine, which basically meant that the United States would remain an open door so that other foreign powers could push against us and get their way. And those powers included China, it included actors in the Middle East, and ultimately it included Iran. And I think
I want to play what because what you just said, Harry, Bill Barr addressed. Take a listen.
What are the consequences for these individuals?
Well, you know, I don't want to. You know, we're in the middle of looking at all of this, John Durham's investigation, and U.S. Attorney Jensen. I'm going to ask him to do some more work on different items as well. And I'm going to wait till all the evidence is and I get their recommendations as to what they found and how serious it is.
Well, there you go.
A little more work on some different items as well, because a lot of the focus initially, Dad, was on like Andrew McCabe's firing. Was that what he did criminal? Now we're looking at a new matter, which is this Michael Flynn and the origins of the Russia investigation when it wasn't even Crossfire Hurricane, it was Crossfire Razor. And were those actions criminal? We now have the Department of Justice saying they were wrong and withdraw the charge. They have withdrawn the charge against Mike Flynn.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're about to go to your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, but we want to go around with our analysts first. Let's do that now, Dan.
Yeah, I want to go to Harry, and because Harry heads up our policy. So if you were the Department of Justice Policy Director, and all of this is unfolding, how would you analyze this, and what would you put in place to fix it?
Well, one of the things that I would do, first and foremost, would place an affirmative obligation on all FBI and DOJ officials to tell the truth. And I think if you look, for instance, at the Flynn matter, part of the issue was that the field agents were being overruled by higher-ups, individuals that were reporting directly to the seventh floor. So at the end of the day, with respect to a particular investigation, I think we have to leave it up to the field agents, who are generally without the political biases that upper-level FBI officials had. But the other point is you've got to hold these other FBI officials like Peter Strzok, Andrew McCabe, accountable. And so I think my message would be to all DOJ employees, all FBI employees, at the end of the day, you will be held accountable.
All right, let's go to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Lance in Texas on line 4. Lance, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Lance.
Oh, wow, we just dropped Lance, unfortunately. He just dropped us. So let's go to Tracy in Texas on line 5. Hey, Tracy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Yep. Quick question. Does Adam Schiff have any personal responsibility or liability to any of this? Can Flynn go after him? Can the DOJ go after him? You know, I guess what they say on the floor is technically not privileged, but it's liability.
It is a speech and Tracy. Okay. It is a speech and debate privilege that they have on the floor of the House or the Senate. Then that's the way that works. And I've got a question for Andy, but let me go to Than first. So going after the congressman, very difficult.
Yeah, impossible, probably really. Not. Although exactly. I think inside the House, though, there ought to be responsibility for how he handled the whistleblower, how he pursued it, how he didn't disclose information about associations he had with people involved, including, by the way, Mary McCord, whose testimony we have now. But ultimately, Jay, you're right. I mean, this comes down to the voters of his district who sent him to the House. But I would just make one larger point, too. He doesn't have to be chairman of the committee anymore. The majority in the House, whoever Speaker of the House determines who the chairman of that committee is. If that changes, he will no longer have his position of authority.
So, Andy, the question of the civil suit capabilities of General Flynn for everything he's been through, that's real.
It definitely is, Jay. There's a statute, 42 U.S.C. 1983, the federal civil rights civil statute, that makes it a civil offense, gives a civil cause of action to anybody whose civil rights have been violated by somebody under color of law. In other words, purporting to act in a legal fashion under the color of some statute or constitution or treaty of the United States. And if I was Sidney Powell, the attorney for Michael Flynn, I'd be looking very seriously at a 1983 action against people like Strzok and those who, and McCabe, Comey, Yates, and all those people who had a hand in setting up General Flynn.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, it's just, but to me, I go to Than on this. I mean, it's just kind of like, what a week, Than. I mean, we've had the transcripts released ultimately by Adam Schiff. Now, he tries to blame the White House, but we know it was his fault in delay. He's a liar, and we know Adam Schiff's a liar. He's tried to brought a bogus impeachment claim against the president, a partisan impeachment claim that was thrown out by the Senate. He tries to still claim that the Mueller report is legitimate and shows collusion and conspiracy, even though it says it doesn't, and there was no obstruction, and he tries to say there was that, too. But yet, what a week in Washington when, in the midst of COVID-19 and everything else the country is dealing with and economically we're dealing with, the shedding of light that we have new information on Peter Strzok, that we have new information on Lisa Page, Mike Flynn, the Department of Justice filing a motion to dismiss charges and throw out the case against Michael Flynn because of wrongdoing by the Department of Justice and its subsidiary, the FBI. What a week in Washington, D.C. for America, for justice, and for President Trump's administration.
Jordan, don't you think it feels a little bit more like a typical Friday in Washington, D.C., the ones we were used to, where all of the information came out at once on Friday? I would tell you a couple of things, though, Jordan. First of all, Chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Jim Jordan, also the Acting Director of National Intelligence, Rick Grenell, they deserve an awful lot of credit for forcing Chairman Schiff's hand on this. We did a lot of work behind the scenes, as did others, to put some of this information out in public, but the political pressure on Chairman Schiff got us to this moment. And the other thing, Jordan, that I really don't think can be lost in all of this. We've got to have one standard of justice in the United States. And think about these two officials. James Comey can brag to Congress about how he intentionally leaked a memo about a conversation with the president in order to accomplish a political purpose, while Sally Yates can go before Congress under penalty of perjury and hedge and demur about whether or not to answer a question about this issue. Why? Because the president was in the room. The only difference there, Jordan, is who the president was. In that case, it was President Obama. That's two standards of justice.
You know, I'm sitting here listening to what Than just said and what Harry and Andy just said, and I'm thinking to myself, I have lived this.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't like, we're not talking about what might happen in some other country or some other zone. I actually lived this. These were the big, tough, nasty prosecutors that were setting up people.
Liars.
For a political agenda. And this, we lived through this with an ultimate goal of trying to take down a duly elected president of the United States. And now they can't get it done. So I got a deal next Tuesday with the local DA of New York at the Supreme Court and two committees of Congress. Mm-hmm. That's what this has come to.
No, it is. Now we've got a good call coming from Gene online too. This is how the mainstream media wants to spin it. Gene, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, regarding the Flynn case, mainstream media seems to be more fixated on the fact that Flynn lied to the FBI. What do you make of that?
Well, Attorney General Barr was asked directly about it, actually this morning on CBS by Catherine Herridge. Take a listen. I think his response answers your question, Gene. Byte 48.
The last thing most Americans remember about General Flynn is that he resigned, was fired, and that he admitted lying to the FBI. Does the fact remain that he lied?
Well, you know, people sometimes plead to things that turn out not to be crimes, and the Department of Justice is not persuaded that this was material to any legitimate counterintelligence investigation. So it was not a crime.
So I'm going to go to Andy on this. So Andy, whatever Mike Flynn said to the time to the FBI wasn't material to any actual investigation. He could have said whatever, and so there was nothing for him to plead guilty to, is what Bill Barr is saying there.
That's right. The government, the judge looks down at the government and says during guilty pleas, tell me what your evidence would show if this man went to trial or this woman went to trial, and they would have to show materiality. And what the attorney general just said is, we can't show materiality connected with any counterintelligence investigation. Therefore, the plea had no factual basis and was a nullity.
All right, folks, we're going to continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want to go to Chris in Nevada. I think his call's back on line four. Chris, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. Is there any chance President Trump would appoint Michael Flynn to another position?
I mean, I think President Trump said he would be open to it. My question is, does Michael Flynn want to go back into government? Or first, Andy, Than, I mean, Harry, any dad, you, we could all answer this. First, he's going to want to sue the federal government and the DOJ and FBI.
Yeah, I think his first action is to get redress.
Yeah, redress of grievances. Redress of grievances first.
Yeah, I don't
first.
Think he wants to go to work for him, so I don't know that. But, I mean, I would think he may want to get President a redress
Trump
of his grievances.
Yeah, and after that happens, President Trump gets reelected a couple years from now. I mean, this is a man who served 30 years for the military, made it to a lieutenant general. Yeah, the president's been certainly open to it. So, again, he makes the ultimate calls on that. He said he'd be open to it. I think it'd be Mike Flynn, who's got a few things to handle, if you will, before taking making decisions like that. 1-800-684-3110. We got another segment coming up. A couple phone lines open, and those of you hanging on the line, Lance, Steve, Jeff, we're going to get your calls when we get back. 1-800-684-3110. A minute left. We've got a lot of information up at ACLJ.org. We're going to continue to update ACLJ.org. I did two shorter videos, one on this new state stimulus idea that, by the way, would be a bailout for Planned Parenthood if it's not done correctly in 16 states. So, again, we don't want that to occur. That's why you've seen the pushback saying you're not going to cut wasteful spending in blue states. Why are we going to bail you out with more stimulus taxpayer money? You're not going to cut the wasteful spending like funding Planned Parenthood and other big government programs that are unnecessary at a time when you're trying to battle a virus. I also did a video on this, on Flynn, about all of this coming together this week. So check those out. Those will be on our social media today and over the weekend. But always check out ACLJ.org, our Twitter pages, our Facebook pages, for great information, keeping you up to speed. Of course, the Supreme Court oral argument, too, next week. That'll be on C-SPAN. You can hear the live audio. And we'll be right back, taking your phone calls. Final segment, 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Stan said it, it kind of feels like old times. Friday dumps by the Schiff-led House Intelligence Committee of things they don't want you to know about in the middle of COVID-19, especially like James Clapper at the time back in 2017, July of 2017, saying, quote, under oath, I never saw any direct empirical evidence that the Trump campaign or someone in it was plotting or conspiring with the Russians to meddle with the election. Or Andy McCabe saying, you don't know if anything in the Steele dossier is true or not. That's correct. As we said, under oath, while they were getting FISA warrants using the Steele dossier. But again, it kind of actually feels like old times, and it hasn't felt that way for a while with COVID-19, the pandemic, and the other issues we were addressing before. So it's kind of nice to have one of these days where you, and one of these 2 or 3 day periods where the information that has been flowing has just been unbelievable. And this vindication now of Michael Flynn as well. I want to get right to the phones. We're going to go in order. People have been holding on. Let's go to Jeff in New York on line 6. Jeff, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
So, 2 quick questions. So I called the book a year ago and I asked who should be the most concerned in Washington, and you guys said whoever signed the FISA application. So I guess the same question is like, who in Washington should be the most concerned? And is there any talk about doing some sort of like movie about all this to try to make it more understandable?
I'm sure, you know, I think at some point in time there's going to be documentaries, there'll be movies, but we're still living it. I mean, the impeachment was just a couple of months ago. And as my dad said, he's doing another Supreme Court case about the same presidential harassment on Tuesday. So it's not done yet, Jeff, for movie purposes, but certainly for documentaries and things. Yeah, they'll be coming. And I get that it can be confusing for people. But here's how I think you put it together. One is with clarity. And I'll go to Harry Hutchinson on this. Harry, with clarity, what you say is people like Mike Flynn were politically persecuted by the U.S. Department of Justice and FBI, have now been vindicated. It's an easy way for people to understand charges. They've asked that the charges be dropped and that the case be dismissed.
I think that is absolutely correct. And then I think the next step will come when Flynn perhaps brings a civil action, a Section 1983 action against the federal government. And then number three, the third prong will be when Durham completes his investigation, and perhaps if charges are filed. So, you know, I know James Comey, he likes to offer lectures. Perhaps his next book should be entitled, as Trey Gowdy said, How Hubris and Arrogance Wrecked an Institution. But perhaps he'll wait to write that book after being told he has the right to remain silent and that anything he says may be used against him.
I like that answer, Harry. I like that information for people. And I think there's a whole lot of people that finally answered that call that need to be concerned right now. I can't even list them all right now. I mean, that's how many. Because of what we're learning on a daily basis. Let me go right back to the phones, though. Great call, great question. Lance in Texas on line 3. Lance, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Thanks for holding on.
Thank you, Jordan and Jay and guests. Real quickly, I wanted to say something about Mueller being the most incompetent guy in the government. I don't see him as incompetent. I see him as completely corrupt. He knows what he's doing, and I don't fall for his Vincent Gigante Alzheimer routine. Now, getting to my question, I would like to see Lindsey Graham and that Judiciary Committee, of course, bring in General Flynn.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to take a lot more than that to get to where what I see, what the Republican Party has done, I want to run this by you guys, is that for the last 3 years, they have been almost complicit in the Mueller probe and everything that's happened to our great president through their silence.
Well, I think you're talking probably more about the Senate than the House. And Than, I'll go to you on this because the Senate actually wants to even do another Russia report. I mean, I heard this is because, you know, Burr and Mark Warner, they work so closely together in their committee and they don't have the same kind of partisanship problems. But they're still focusing in on it as well with Radcliffe, who's before them for his confirmation.
I'll be honest with you, Jordan. I've been very disappointed with the Senate Intelligence Committee under Republican leadership during this phase.
Because a lot of Republicans, they went to bat. When it came to the impeachment, they threw it right out. But on this bigger issue, it's like they can't get over it either. On the Senate side, the House side has been incredibly great and supportive of the president. Dan.
Yeah, I think that's right, Jordan. I mean, I would tell you on the House side, this report that these transcripts were conducted under was a Republican-led committee. And I think now that that information is coming out, it shows that they did do a good job, a thorough job. Of course, the control of that committee flipped to Democrats. That's where a lot of these problems have come in. I think that's when the Senate Intelligence Committee should have stepped in and revealed some of this information and probably pursued the investigation. I think that's a fair criticism.
Yeah, Frank in Florida, it's good. Question online for Frank. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Jordan. My question is, who actually has to pay for General Flynn if he sues the government? Will that be paid by the taxpayers, or will it be paid by the perpetrators of the crime?
Let me go to Andy on this. Andy, it is technically would come from the federal budget, the federal funds.
That's right.
Now, we have likely Department of Justice has probably that money set aside for these kind of cases that happen. They're not always as high profile, but it does happen where they are, like you said, they're a part of the criminal code. And by the way, as taxpayers, even if General Flynn gets what sounds like a large amount of money, I'm talking about even in the millions and millions of dollars, that's a drop in the bucket with any kind of budget that we're talking about.
That's right. If he prevails on any claim made under 1983 of the Civil Rights Act, Title 42, if he prevails, then he is entitled to attorney's fees from the losing party, and that would be the United States and those other individuals who are sued.
So this is the other question. Could the other individuals be economically liable as well, personally?
Yes, I would look to them for contribution and making the general whole. If the United States had to pay, I would look to all those people who were participants, and I would say they were jointly and severally liable, which is legalese for meaning you come in with some money too.
So that means they're not just looking at the criminal issues. A lot of these officials could also be looking at civil damages, which, again, easier to prove. Cases don't take as long and cost you a lot in the pocketbook. Final call of the day, Steve in Georgia on line five. Steve, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate all you guys.
Yeah.
My question is, now that we know that this, with the new information that we know that it went all the way to the top, we know all the heads of the different entities are involved in this. Is it becoming easier to make a case for a soft coup?
I mean, making a case for a soft coup, it was. It was an attempt to take down a duly elected president. We've said that. Because they didn't like his politics, and they didn't like the people he was appointing. It absolutely was. I don't think you have to even make any more of a case for that. They tried to impeach him over something unrelated to Russia, by the way, over a phone call with a whistleblower who never testified, a whistleblower who they said was going to testify but never testified. They did this to Mike Flynn before they even came into office, the president came into office. But yet, under oath, we now know they all testified that they had no evidence, nothing concrete, nothing about it. The Steele dossier that they were using to get FISA warrants on Americans. Nothing concrete about Russia or even any kind of evidence at all. Other top officials saying they never even were briefed about Russia and this collusion issue. So yeah, there was an attempt at a soft coup. We fought back. You fought back. We will talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.